Hello there again, Bernie Miklas with you with another Bernie Miklas show here on the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Let everyone know they should subscribe. As I like to say, it's free of charge. And absolutely leave those comments. I love them and I learn from them and I get challenged by them and it's great. It's okay if we get a little salty sometimes too. Before I start, you know, a couple of you recommended maybe I do a video, it could be kind of a side video, not the main event, but you know, if those days where I do two, there are going to be some days where I'm going to start do three, where I explain all my hats, this hat collection. First of all, the hat collection is not as large as you would think. I'm adding to it, but I'll satisfy the demand of some of the subscribers, I'll do a video and explain the hats. However, I got some more on the way, so I'm going to wait for that. There's a couple, three in there that I'm really crazy about. I'll tell you that my favorite new one when it arrives, and I know you will get a kick out of it too. You will really enjoy it. Just take my word for it, okay? I want to show you one other thing since we're going to do show and tell today, or we're going to do some show and tell sessions. This is one of my prized possessions. Just love this thing. You've all heard of Vince Lombardi, one of the two or three greatest coaches in the history of the NFL, Green Bay Packers, all that, Lambeau Field, Ice Bowl, you name it, right? Well, there you go. Take a look at that baby. That's a Vince Lombardi autograph. And there's a great story behind it that I will share sometime. But it's totally authentic. This wasn't obtained from an autograph collector or anything like that. It was actually an elderly couple in St. Louis sent it to me because I had written a column about Vince Lombardi when the Packers returned to the Super Bowl and won it with Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren as the coach. I had written a long tribute to Vince Lombardi during Super Bowl week. And this elderly couple in St. Louis, bless their hearts, they sent me that in the mail with a story. And they said, listen, when we were living in Florida, we were friends with Vince Lombardi's widow, Marie Lombardi. And through the years, Vince had just signed all these autographs on index cards because they were easier to just hand out to people. What am I doing here? Being an idiot as usual. Please help me. Somebody please help me. She said, because the elderly couple explained that this is ridiculous. I can't get this thing held up right. Oh, my goodness. The elderly couple explained that they became friends because they lived in the same condo complex in Miami. They became friends with Vince Lombardi's widow, Marie. And Marie, because they were asking him questions about the great coach Lombardi, and Marie said, oh, I still have many, many, many of these index card autographs because Vince signed them because there was such a demand. He'd keep a bunch of them in his coat pocket of all time. And then at all times. And then when someone would ask him, he wasn't trying to be rude. I mean, these were things he signed. He would just hand them one of those. And that makes sense if you think about it. And I'm sure along the way, Vince personalized some of them. But anyway, it was one of the sweetest things ever that anyone has ever done for me during the course of my job. This elderly couple in St. Louis County just mailed this to me, told me that story. And they said, you wrote such a lovely piece on Vince Lombardi during the Super Bowl that we really believe you should have this because we know that you will treasure this. Absolutely. I mean, seriously, I was just blown away by the kindness. Probably wrote about a 3-page letter to thank you, handwritten letter. Anyway, I told you I was going to tell you the story later. I told you now. So maybe I made a mistake instead of saving that for another time. Here's what I want to talk about today. And again, I'm a bad host here on my own show because I should have said in the beginning. All right, here's what I'm going to talk about today. The Cardinals have been through this before. See, I should have said that at the top. But first, I want to show you this Vince Lombardi autograph. Anyway, but the Cardinals have been through this before. Well, what do we mean by this before? Where you know, all of a sudden they weren't all that hot and they went through a phase where they weren't all that hot. Now, just a reminder, you know, not counting the COVID season of 2020, in the last eight full seasons, the Cardinals have missed the playoffs five times. So they are in a rut based on their established standards. But this isn't anything new. And let me just say this in advance. I'm going to play some defense in advance because I'll be accused of, you know, saying the fans are spoiled. No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know how old everyone is that subscribes to the channel and leaves comments. So I can't assume that a big part of the audience here on YouTube or just general Cardinals fans, audiences, and whatever media platform. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, who was old enough to comprehend how great they were, but also remembers a slide that they went on. And I think that slide, that skid, by their standards, I actually think that's kind of been forgotten or at least overlooked. And let me explain what I'm talking about here. And I got to go through some notes and I got good info, but please, Lord, help me be organized. You know, the Cardinals from 2000 through 2006, they led the National League in wins, regular season. They led the National League in postseason wins. They won two NL pennants. They won the World Series in 2006. They reached the postseason six out of seven times. And they competed in five National League Championship Series. I mean, that was one heck of a run. I won't read you the stats, but they just did really, really well, like in every area. I don't know about base running or anything like that, but I'm talking about, you know, hitting and pitching. But here's the part that I think has been overlooked a little bit. From after they won the World Series in 2006, from 2007 through 2010, the Cardinals missed the playoffs three out of 4 years. In 2007, the follow-up to their World Series campaign, they had a losing record. They finished third in the division. In 2008, they had a respectable season. They won 86 games, but it wasn't good enough to get to the playoffs, and they finished fourth in the division. And, yeah, it was more difficult to win the playoffs then, so I should have said that. I know that, but I know I need to say it or you would call me out on it, which is good. I need that too. In 2009, the Cardinals had a really good year. They won 91 games, but they lost to the Dodgers in the division series. I think they got swept. I shouldn't know. I was there for all three games. In 2010, again, they weren't awful, but they didn't make the playoffs, and they finished second in the division with 86 wins. A couple of those teams might have made it in today's format, right? Where there's three wild cards in each league. So I know all that, but all we can do is evaluate that team based on the format that was in place at the time. That's all you can do. And there was some real slippage from the 2000 through 2006 run in the National League. 2007 through 10, they were seventh in runs, middle of the pack. They were eighth in slugging, eighth in homers. Their pitching wasn't bad, but it wasn't as great as it was during the run. They were sixth in ERA. They were eighth in quality starts. Their bullpen, if you go by fielding independent ERA, which is actually a better measure than standard ERA, Cardinals bullpen from 2007 through 2010 was actually 13th out of 15, actually 16 teams back then, before the Astros moved to the American League. So they were 13th out of 16 teams in fielding independent ERA, the Cardinals relievers. So what happened exactly? A lot happened. And listen, I'm pretty sure I got all these names. I went over through all the different lists and double-checked and all that. But let's focus on the 2004, 2005, and 2006 Cardinals, okay? that team was ridiculously good. They won 105 games in 2004. They won 100 games in 2005. And even though the 2006 team wasn't at that level in the regular season, they won only 83 games. Same as the 24 Cardinals. They were just outstanding. I mean, they were outstanding those 3 years. And, they basically, you know, I've always said it was basically the worst team, arguably, that Tony La Russa took to the playoffs. And he took a lot of teams to the playoffs. But they got players healthy at the right time, and they got hot at the right time. As the Mets are showing now, it's all about momentum. You know, and the 2006 Cardinals are a great example of that. Lightning strikes that change everything, that demoralize the opponents and get you cranked up where you think no one can beat us. Well, here's what happened. If you look at, again, we're talking 2004, 2005, 2006, and then the names I'm going to read off, these are not, I'm not saying that every one of these players was part of all three teams, but they were a part of at least one teams, in many cases two, and in some cases all three. So what happened? Well, Scott Rolen got in a beef with Tony La Russa, and you recall he got traded, whether it was 2007, 2008, he got traded, I think, before 2008. Could be wrong about that. But the point is, Scott Rolen was no longer a Cardinal after that run. He wasn't a Cardinal for much longer. He also had the shoulder problems. Jim Edmonds was traded after the 2007 season. David Eckstein, who was the shortstop, who was the MVP of the 2006 World Series, he played one more season, and then he was gone. Reggie Sanders left. Larry Walker, a Hall of Famer, left. Edgar Renteria left after 2004. He will be a Cardinals Hall of Famer. He should be already. Ray Lankford, a good role player, more of a bench guy, but a good role player. He left in his second time around with the Cardinals. Ronnie Belliard, who was a really good shortstop, helped him out in 2006. His stats weren't great, but he really helped that team. He was no longer part of the scene. Remember how great Scott Spezio there was for a while? The Cardinals, I don't think, make the playoffs in 2006 without Spezio hitting that huge triple to beat the Brewers on the next to last day of the season. Then I believe Houston lost that later that night, and the Cardinals were able to wrap it up. That was a huge, huge triple. I think the Cardinals were losing at the time. But Spezio was a really good guy off the bench. Well, he flamed out. You know, got sort of lapsed back into some of his personal issues. He didn't last much longer in the Cardinals uniform. It was kind of ugly. You look at the pitching staff. Matt Morris was part of those two of those three teams. Cardinals Hall of Famer. He left. Signed as a free agent by the Pirates. Woody Williams, money pitcher. He left. Rick Ankiel tried to come back from his the loss of control and all that, but he sort of he couldn't make it all the way back. And then he had an elbow surgery and all this other stuff. So Ankiel was no longer part of the mix. Remember, the Cardinals had two really good lefty relievers, Ray Klein and Steve Klein and Ray King. They were no longer part of the scene after 2006, maybe for a little while. Like I said, some of these things were gradual, but I'm just telling you that great 2004 through 2006 run, there were a lot of players who were part of that team in those teams in some way who were no longer. All of a sudden you look around, they're not there, right? Chris Carpenter, we all know, Cardinals Hall of Famer, phenomenal pitcher. 2006 postseason run, he was great. He was great the entire regular season as well. You'll remember in the first start of the 2007 season, the Mets were at Busch Stadium. The first start, he blew out his elbow. He didn't pitch the rest of the year. And in 2008, he only pitched 15 innings as he rehabbed from Tommy John surgery. So they basically didn't have Chris Carpenter for two full seasons. I mean, it's not technically full seasons, but I think we can all agree, 15 innings over 2 years. Yeah, you missed two full seasons. Mark Mulder, who people forget actually was a pretty good pitcher in St. Louis before he got hurt. He won 44 games, 2004-5-6, but he blew his shoulder out, and he was never the same. He disappeared from the face of the earth. Jeff Weaver, star of the late season and 2006 postseason Cardinals. He signed with Seattle after the World Series. That was his mistake. The Cardinals were doing some things like gambling on Sidney Ponson in the aftermath of all this. That didn't work. There was a tragedy. Josh Hancock, who was a pretty good middle reliever for that World Series team, tragically died while driving, while intoxicated early in the 2007 season. Then you had one thing, too. This kind of bridges it a little bit. If you remember, Jason Isringhausen had to shut it down in 2006 because his hip was so bad and it required surgery after the season. He couldn't pitch. He turned it over to Adam Wainwright for the postseason, and Adam Wainwright, as they say, the rest is history. And then Izzy returned in 2007. He wasn't the same. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't the same. And the Cardinals' bullpen over the next three seasons really took a dive. It just wasn't the same because they lost some other good young relievers from that group that won the World Series, like Tyler Johnson and Josh Kinney. They were never the same. Wainwright moved to the rotation, and it took him a little while to get going as a starter. Not that he was ever awful. So the bullpen, so because of the Izzy injury and, you know, injuries to other relievers, you know, that bullpen suddenly went from being outstanding to being kind of mediocre. If you look at, like, some of the starting pitchers they had to turn to during that time, man, some of these names are going to make you either laugh or cry. So if we're talking about now, we're moving into 2007 through 2010 after they lost all those players, right? It was kind of sad in a way, or I actually choose to kind of chuckle at it. You know, from 2007 through 2010, not the entire time, they had mixed results from Kyle Loesch. He got hurt in the middle of that. They gave 64 starts to Todd Wellemeyer. Remember him? They gave 63 starts to Braden Looper. He was respectable, but he wasn't a great starter. Brad Thompson made a bunch of starts. Kip Wells, oh, gosh, why did I have to bring that up? Forget about it, right? Brad Penny made a cameo. Joel Pinheiro made a cameo. John Smoltz at the end of his career made a cameo. And I could go on and on and on. There was a big drop-off in the rotation because Chris Carpenter was missing in 2007 and 2008, and they had yet to kind of regenerate that rotation. Although Adam Wainwright obviously turned into a very good starting pitcher, and he was outstanding, especially in 2009 and 2010. So those were tough times. Again, the team, those teams, 2007 through 2010, they weren't horrendous except for the 1 year, the follow-up year to the World Series campaign. But they had a lot of work to do. I mean, they had a lot of work to do because the farm system wasn't cranking out that sustainable pipeline of good young talent that can either be starters or complementary players or whatever. I mean, Skip Schumacher had started to make his way through. John Jay, what would happen is then they, I'll get to this in a minute, but then they would, they, their farm system, because this is when the Jeff Luhnow system really kicked into play, because he had a lot of work to do before it could start to produce the kind of results that Bill DeWitt wanted and Jeff Luhnow wanted and all those great analysts that worked for him. So how did they sort of make it back to becoming a really terrific team again? Well, I'm going to tell you kind of what I mentioned here in the lead up to this. First of all, the farm system, the teams from 2011 through 2015 led the major leagues in wins in the regular season and the postseason. They won two pennants and the 2011 World Series. They appeared in four league championship games, series, four NLCS. And a lot of what they did they still had their big stars. Don't get me wrong. I haven't lost my mind, but you need to have a really good roster overall, and you need to have role players, and you need to have options. So when the Cardinals went off on their run in 2011 through 2015, first of all, Matt Holliday was in place after John Mozeliak traded for him in 2009 at the trade deadline. David Freese was in place after John Mozeliak traded Jim Edmonds for David Freese after 2007. John Jay became more prominent. Skip Schumacher became more prominent. Matt Carpenter became a two- or three-time All-Star, and for a while there was just a fantastic hitter and one of the great leadoff men the Cardinals have ever had in terms of on-base percentage and slugging percentage in the leadoff position. Matt Adams, the Kershaw home run, right? 2014 NLCS. Daniel Descalso, a glue player, one of Tony La Russa's favorites. Descalso didn't have stats that would blow you away, but he was a winning ball player. Sorry for the cliche, but he was. Colton Wong came along. I'm going to mention another guy. You would say, oh, Bernie, come on. They didn't have a shortstop. And a former number one pick that, in the grand scheme of things, wasn't a good number one pick, and I'm talking about Pete Cosma, actually helped them a lot. This is all within the context. They did not have a shortstop. And you go look up Pete Cosma's game logs in 2012. The Cardinals didn't know what to do at shortstop. They tried everybody. I think I got a tryout. They couldn't find a shortstop. So they plugged in Pete Cosma late in that 2012 season, where the Cardinals really had to fight to make the wild card. That was the first year of the double wild card, right? And look at Cosma's numbers over the final month of the season. I mean, you would have thought he was Barry Larkin or something. I mean, he went on a rampage. To look it up. I don't need to read it. You go look it up. He was fantastic. In 2013, he was the starting shortstop for the pennant-winning Cardinals. Now, did he hit? Heck no. He didn't hit at all, hardly. But you know what he did? He played great defense at shortstop in 2013, and they needed that. If you can't find the great all-around shortstop, well, pick a skill and run with it. And Cosma's skill was playing great defense. In 2013, he had six defensive runs saved, which was second among National League shortstops. And overall in the majors, he was rated the fourth best shortstop defensively in the Fangraphs defensive composite. So, yeah, Pete Cosma, a graduate of the farm system, actually helped them get through a tough time. And it ain't always about offense, okay? They needed a good glove man in 13, and he came through. Other things happened from 2011 to 2015. So I told you about all the guys that came through, and I've neglected to mention Alan Craig. So it was Matt Carpenter, Alan Craig, John Jay, Matt Adams, Daniel Descalso, Pete Cosma, Colton Wong, and some others. They traded for Holliday. They traded for Freese. And then the farm system was cranking out pitchers. This was the beauty of the legacy of the Jeff Lunell era. He left to go become the Houston general manager for 2011, but he left behind some real good things in that minor league system. So between 2011 and 2015, and once again, I'm not saying these guys were all there for the entire time. The farm system had produced Lance Lynn, Jaime Garcia, Michael Wacha, Carlos Martinez, Shelby Miller, all kinds of relievers, all kinds of great relievers. Trevor Rosenthal, Seth Maness, Carlos Martinez before he moved into the rotation. Jason Mott, of course. Kevin Segrist, Joe Kelly for a while. I think those are Mitchell Boggs did a good job for a while. So you had all these farm system guys becoming a big part of their rotation during that time they went off on a wonderful, wonderful stretch, 2011 through 2015. Carpenter came back from injuries and all that, and he was actually good before 2011. I mean, him and Wainwright, one of those years was 2009. Either one of them was capable of winning the Cy Young, and I think they split the vote, and Tim Lincecum got it because people were disagreeing about who was more essential, you know, Wainwright or Carpenter. So Carpenter had made it back by then, right? But he was phenomenal in 2011. I do not need to go into the history of that. All I got to say is Carpenter versus Roy Halladay. Okay. John Mozeliak made a good trade in 2014 at the deadline. He offloaded Alan Craig's terrible contract, and he agreed to part with Joe Kelly. And he got John Lackey, and John Lackey was just the fire and brimstone they needed because that 2014 team was dull, man. Lackey helped wake him up. I'll never remember getting a text message from a Cardinals pitcher after I praised Lackey. He says, "No, but well, people in here, he makes us uncomfortable. I don't think you understand." And I texted the gentleman back and I said, "That was the point of getting him. Y'all needed to be made uncomfortable. Little too cozy in the old clubhouse. You needed someone who's going to come in and disturb the peace a little bit." And that's what John Lackey did. And that's what John Mozeliak knew his team needed. And then Lackey was tremendous in 2015 when the Cardinals won 100 games. The Cardinals lose Pujols before the 2012 season. They lost La Russa and Dave Duncan before the 2012 season. I think Mike Matheny was a good manager in 2012. I think he got progressively worse. It began in the 2013 World Series where he's like, "No, I'm not pitching around David Ortiz. No, real men don't do that. We're going to challenge him." How'd that work out? And then he started finally walking them, pitching around them like it was too late. And then we had the 2014 debacle in the National League Championship Series where he's got Trevor Rosenthal sitting in the bullpen. The Cardinals season is in the line. They lost three straight games. Rosenthal never appeared in a game. It ended with Michael Wacha, and I'm going to exaggerate for effect, Michael Wacha, who hadn't pitched in like 2.5 months, hardly, served up the three-run homer to Ishikawa. And I asked Matheny after the game. He didn't like this. I said, "Well, Mike, Trevor Rosenthal, you didn't use him. He had a phenomenal season. You didn't use him in the final three games. You lost the final three games all in San Francisco. Why didn't you bring him in?" He said, "Oh," and he said, "Well, you're talking about tonight?" I said, "Yeah, you can start with tonight." He says, "Oh, no. You never, you know, he looked at me like I was the biggest idiot in the world. Maybe I was in some respects, but not in this question. He got beat with a rusty pitcher when he had Trevor Rosenthal ready to go, okay? He said, "Oh, you don't bring your closer into a tie game on the road." Pardon me if I take a pause here. Maybe you should. If your entire season is on the line and your only other option was Michael Wacha, who hadn't pitched and wasn't effective because he was rusty, you got to win a game to advance. If you use that great closer, maybe there's a way you pull that game out and you advance to the World Series. Well, there would have to be a couple more games, but you get my point. Anyway, I'm telling stories here, so this one's going a little longer, and I apologize. Anyway, so Mo made some good signings. I mean, Beltran came in 2012, 2013 was terrific. They signed him after losing Pujols. They had already gotten Berkman in 2011. They don't win the World Series without Berkman. They made another trade when they traded Freeze to the Angels. And they got Randall Grichuk in that trade. Then they got Fernando Salas, one of the most underrated Cardinals relievers ever. Well, at least in the modern times. They got those two guys in the trade. Mo got those two guys in the trade for Freeze, who had really just reached the end of the line here. And thankfully, he pulled together and had some good, really good seasons later on for other teams. Mo signed Johnny Peralta to play shortstop. 2014 and 2015, he was good, and then he hit the wall. Okay. They gave him a 4-year deal. The first 2 years were really good. You know, they had a heck of a team in 2014 and 15, and he was an all-star in both years. After that, over. Just wasn't very good. Mo also, I mentioned Salas. Mo also made some moves to bring in relievers during that run at any point from 2011 to 2015. Guys like Mark Repchinski, Octavio Dotel, Pat Neshek, Edwin Mujica. Sorry, Mujica was an all-star, saved a bunch of games that 1 year, and then got burned out. And I mentioned Lackey, and I mentioned Carpenter in 2011. And again, this isn't meant to be the all-encompassing list of every single player, but the point is. The Cardinals lost a lot of proven veteran, even Hall of Fame caliber talent after winning the 2006 series, World Series. Part of it was gradual, right? It didn't happen overnight, but it was a gradual loss. And yeah, they had a guy named Pujols and a guy named Molina, and it helps to have them in place and to kind of regenerate and build around them. And it helps to have Adam Wainwright move into the rotation and become one of the really top starters in baseball for quite a while. And it helps to make some smart free agent signings and some trades that worked out for you. But yeah, when you got Pujols and you got Molina and you got Wainwright, even though he blew out his elbow, wasn't part of the 2011 team. I know everyone appreciated him being there, you know, for support and his leadership. He had another injury in 2015. But listen, man, I'm not going to like downgrade Waino's impact on that run. But when you have three building blocks like that, it makes it easier. But the point is, all these names, the farm system was kicking out some really good players, kicking them right up the chain to St. Louis. And that's how you built a more complete ball club. And that's when I gave you all those pitchers and hitters that came through the farm system, come on, that was outstanding. And they didn't have to reconstruct the team year to year by buying free agent starters. They didn't have to go out and get a whole new bullpen every year and all that stuff. They had a tremendous foundation because of, altogether now, the farm system, the player development system, which was thriving. So here come the Cardinals. They've only made the playoffs three times in the last 8 full seasons. And what's one of the things that's missing? Farm system dried up. They have some really good, they have really good talent down there now. Don't get me wrong, they do. But it's a matter of making these players fully prepared with comprehensive coaching and instructing, all the technology and tools that they need. You want to get them as major league ready as you can, because players come to the major leagues at a younger age now compared to way back when. So the farm system failed in a lot of ways. Randy Flores has drafted some hell of a group of players. I mean, Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman is two of them. But what happens? They had a lot of flaws in the minor leagues, and even though they overcame them at the major leagues for a while, you know, the one thing about major league operations is a pitching coach, the scouts, everybody else, the analytics department, they're going to find your weaknesses, and then they're going to exploit them. The Cardinals at the major league level or the minor league level never could get Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker fixed. Now, maybe they still can. With Chaim Bloom on board, I think there's a better chance of that. But he's got to get this farm system fixed quickly, which is why he's devoting all of his time to that. So Bill DeWitt, and I know he's not popular, okay? I'm not arguing anything about that. You're entitled to your feelings. But Bill DeWitt oversaw an incredible rebirth of this and rejuvenation of this franchise when he bought the team, and then when he brought Jeff Luno in. That move paid off down the road when all the stars started leaving that had been so responsible 2000 through 2006. Not all of them, but a lot of them. After they scuffled for a while, that farm system started to produce and produce and produce and produce and produce. And then the Cardinals went off, even though they lost Pools, even though Wainwright was hurt a couple years, even though they lost Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan. They had enough talent because of the pipeline and with the three core guys, especially Pujols and Molina. They're not the only ones, but these are Hall of Fame guys. The farm system that Bill DeWitt put in place by bringing in Jeff Luhnow, that operation, it took a while to pay off because players have to develop. And they weren't getting to the big leagues as quickly as they do now. So the Luhnow system, which is does not happen unless Bill DeWitt hires them, got the Cardinals off the ground and got them running and got them again, 2011 through 15, first in the majors in regular season wins, first in the majors in postseason wins, a World Series, two pennants, and they competed in four National League Championship Series. And a lot of that had to do, in addition to, you know, the stars that were there, a lot of that had to do with having a lot of depth and a complete roster and younger on the rise pitching, bullpen starting rotation because of this rejuvenation of the farm system. So why did I just spend 36 minutes giving you a history lesson? You didn't ask for it. And listen, I'm going to do thoughtful videos. And I know, let me pat myself on the back. I'm going to do thoughtful videos. I'm not just going to, like, you know, every day it's going to be like a 15-minute blistering hot take, right? I think you can learn from history. I know I have. And I think we all can learn from history. The Cardinals have been through this before. What they're going through now, they have been through their version of this before. When a lot of the stars walked away. Because it's inevitable that rosters will change. The farm system rejuvenated them then. And now that they're in this spot again, Chaim Bloom's aboard, the new Luhnow, if you will, to give the Cardinals the kind of farm system they need going forward, the player development system they need going forward, to have all these players coming to your club so you will have a more complete team, more depth, more options, and you don't have to race out every winner. Oh my gosh, where am I going to get three starting pitchers? You can't do that every offseason, especially if you're not willing to go top shelf pricing, right? So anyway, I hope you pulled something from this. I hope you stayed with it because I think this is a heck of a history lesson for me and for you and for anybody that maybe has overlooked the fact that the Cardinals went through this cycle before. I shall shut up now. It's been 37 minutes and 50 seconds. That's enough. But thank you for sticking with it. And we'll be back maybe later today here on The Bernie Show. Thank you.